The book of Matthew, chapter 1. We shall speak tonight on the subject of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I wish to show that Jesus is both God and man, and that in order to be saved or be in a reconciled state with God, one must comprehend and understand what the name of Jesus means and what it means to place their faith and trust in the name of Jesus. For there is another gospel the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about another spirit, and it talks about another Jesus. And how can men exercise faith except they hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? So there must be something believed and affirmed to be forgiven of one's sin, and I'd like to try to point that out this evening. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the book beginning with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then dropping down to verse 16, we read, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Two things in the opening chapter of the book of Matthew set forth the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, he was perfect man. He was the Son of Man. He wasn't a half angel or a half spirit, as some of the early heretics, known as the Gnostics, taught in the early church history. But he was fully man. Human, just as human as you and I are tonight, except without sin. Two things bear out his humanity. Number one, he came from an historical race of people that descended from Abraham, the Jewish race. And as they are real human beings, Jesus Christ came forth from a real race of human beings. And the genealogy of Christ proves his humanity. An angel couldn't fit in to that genealogy. The second thing in the opening chapter of Matthew that shows his humanity is that he was born of the Virgin Mary. In verse 16, he was born of Jesus, born of Mary, of whom is called Christ. So two things, the genealogy of Christ shows his humanity, and his mother, of whom he was born, shows the humanity of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was fully human, just like you and me. In the first chapter of Matthew, the divinity of the Lord, or the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, is set forth. And it is emphasized as well. First, in two ways. The divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ is seen first in the Immaculate Conception and his virgin birth. Christ did not receive his deity from Joseph, but he was virgin born. That is, he was the Son of God himself. Look in verse 18. "The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Jesus' birth was not an ordinary birth. He was virgin born. Verse 20, "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." We're dealing with a divine person here. Not just a human person. Human, yes, but divine as well. Look in verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So we see that this one born in the Virgin's womb, which was conceived by the Holy Ghost, is none other than God Himself. Verse 25, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Four references to the manner in which the Christ was born. He was the virgin-born Son of God. So here in the opening chapter of Matthew, we see two reasons setting forth his humanity, the genealogy, and the fact that he came from Mary. Two reasons setting forth his deity, the first in his virgin birth, and then the second way in which his deity is set forth is in the names which are applied to Jesus here in this chapter. Three names, what are they? Who can find them for me? What are the names given to the Son of God? Can you find them? Verse 21, we find that his name is who? Jesus. All right? Verses 17 and 18, we find that he is called the what? The Christ. All right? So his name is Jesus Christ. And then in verse 23, his name is called what? Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus Christ is God with us. Us being humanity. Jesus is God in the flesh. And we are setting this forth as clearly and simply as we have the ability to do so tonight, because one must understand this in order to give a credible profession of faith. And we are saved by grace through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone denies either the humanity or the deity of Christ, they have never exercised true saving faith, because they've never heard, or else they have rejected that which they have heard. Now let's look at the names that are given to us here. Verse 21, look at the name first, the one which he went by so frequently, the one which the angel said he was to be named. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus in the New Testament is the Greek equivalent of the Old Testament name Joshua, or Jehoshua. And those of you who recall who Joshua was, he was the one which took over after Moses left the scene in the wilderness wanderings. And it was Joshua who led Israel as a people out of the wanderings in the desert into the land of promise and peace. He was a deliverer, for that is what the name Jesus or Joshua means. One who saves, or one who delivers. And just as Joshua saved or delivered Israel from the wanderings in the wilderness into the promised land, so Jesus delivers lost sinners from sin into a state of salvation or reconciliation with God. So this is one of the evidences of the deity of Christ, in that his very name means deliverer, one sent from God. Now the second aspect of his name is seen in verses 17 and 18. And that is the term Christ. We read verse 16 first. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now notice the expression twice. Who is called Christ, verse 17, unto Christ. The word Christ is the Greek equivalent of Messiah of the Old Testament Hebrew. and it means the anointed one. So attach that to the name of Jesus, and what you have, meaning, is that God has anointed Jesus Jesus. That is, He has anointed Christ to be the Savior of lost sinners and to deliver them from sin unto salvation. Emmanuel is mixed, and that is presented to us in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now this name describes who Christ is. His name Jesus describes what he does. His name Christ describes who has authorized him to do what he does. And then Emmanuel is who he is. He is God with us. God has authorized the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the deliverer of sinners from their sin. And that's who Jesus is. He's God with us. And if a person isn't willing to confess that, they have no access unto God, the Eternal Father. So not only is Jesus fully human, He's also fully divine. And the rest of the New Testament sets this forth with great clarity that He was God in the flesh. Now how does this understanding, this basic understanding of who Jesus Christ Emmanuel is, relate to our salvation? All right, if you would, go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. We'll see how this relates to the preaching of the gospel. The name of Jesus. You must understand what that name means and represents in order to be saved. If we don't understand it, then we cannot be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the what? What is it? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, if you ask a person on the street today, do you believe in Jesus? Well, if they say yes, that still doesn't mean that they know Him in the free pardon of sin. They may believe in Caesar Augustus. They may believe in Herod, that these people actually existed. It's just not, do you believe that there was a man named Jesus? And do you believe he was a good spiritual and religious teacher? But no, do you believe that he was none other than the eternal God incarnate in the flesh, and that it is through him that God the Father has anointed this person, set him apart, that he only is the Savior of sinners? Do you confess that? That's what it means to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the name of Christ describes who He is and what salvation is. Look also in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 30, the Philippian jailer comes to Paul and Silas at midnight, fearing for his life. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now notice here is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means sovereign. The word Jesus, we have seen, means Savior. And Christ means the Anointed One, or the Messiah. Now put those three words together. What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to believe that He is God's sovereign, saving Messiah. Now, is that too difficult to understand? I think not. You see, salvation and the preaching of the gospel is not difficult to understand. The problem with the human heart is that it doesn't want to receive what it does understand. A lot of things about the Bible I understand all too well. It's the difficulty I have of conforming myself to what the Bible teaches me that I do understand. That's where my difficulty is. The problem with man out here is not that he just doesn't understand. No, he understands. But he seeks to suppress or hold down that which he does understand. So what does it mean to be saved? It means that we must believe in the sovereign, saving Messiah. And that Christ is that one. Jesus is that person. Now go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. This section of Scripture is used numerous times in contemporary evangelism today. And yet I'm convinced, having studied the system, having been in that type of system known as easy believism, that masses today make professions of faith in Jesus who have never been exposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, to what His name really represents. Look in Romans chapter 10. In verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, the affections, the whole man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then hear this famous passage, which if you have been a Christian for 30 years, you've heard it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. For whosoever shall call upon the what? The name of the Lord shall be saved. Here it is presented to us in such clarity that salvation involves a confession with the mouth. That is, it involves an intellectual understanding and comprehension of what a person is doing in order to be saved. You just don't walk into heaven dumb. That's why we as Baptists practice believers' baptism. We only baptize those who can give credible profession of one's faith. But we believe that God has ordained that He saves His people through the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel involves an explanation on the preacher's part of what the gospel is. And the gospel involves a message about the Lord, the sovereign, saving Messiah. And that message says that He is God and He is man. He is God with us in the flesh. And that He became a man in order that He might be made a little lower than the angels and taste death for men. That He might die a substitutionary atonement. And that if a person understands that and says, yes, I see I cannot provide my own righteousness, but He has provided a righteousness, then it is by believing that a person obtains His righteousness. And notice it is a substitutionary righteousness. we believe unto righteousness. It is a righteousness which is worked out by Christ. And with the mouth one confesses this. And there is no difference whether a person be a Jew or a Greek, all are saved by grace through faith. And notice, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Do you see how the whosoever is defined? Whether they be a Jew or a Greek, a Gentile, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that precludes or presumes that a person knows what the name of the Lord represents. And this is where contemporary evangelism falls down. It calls upon people to profess someone that they've never been properly introduced to. And they're told, receive Christ as your personal Savior. But yet in the New Testament, it is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on what His name entails, and all that it encompasses. Now watch how we are emphasizing this, because the apostle picks up upon this now. In verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You see, if the gospel preacher doesn't explain who Christ is, God in the flesh, and he calls upon his hearers to exercise faith, all they can do is exercise faith in an unknown Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. God imparts faith through the explaining of the gospel. He could have imparted faith through divine regeneration directly apart from a human messenger. He could have sent the angels like he did to the shepherds, couldn't he? But he has ordained that he's going to use a human instrument to call out his own. And so they are given the gift of faith to believe in the message. And if you are involved in faith tonight, it's because you've heard a message and you have placed your faith in the sovereign, saving Messiah, Emmanuel, who is God with us. May this Christmas season give you rejoicing, peace, and contentment that you know what the name of Christ means, because it's more than just repeating Jesus 1,000 times like the Romans do with their rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Well, we can't just say, I believe in Jesus, 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 Jesus. No, who is this Jesus? Who is He? He's God in the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful tonight to be able to assemble ourselves and call ourselves by Your name as Your people. People whom You have adopted as Your covenant people. Ones in which You have placed Your name in and said that You would be their God and they would be Your people. And that we have the right to do so, the authority to do so, because of the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can call ourselves by His name, because He has called us unto Himself, and we see and acknowledge and bow before Him in worship and service that He is the sovereign saving Messiah of sinners. Bless Your word tonight. Send us forth now in these coming days, trusting in the name of Christ. Help us to never look off to either side, to the voices all around that would try to lead us aside and say, but this must be trusted in, or that must be trusted in. Help us to keep our faith focused upon that which is centered in the sovereign saving Messiah, whom you have sent. We pray for our church members who are out in this holiday season. Might you grant them traveling mercies. We pray for those who are ill, that you might uplift them, encourage them in the failure of health. We ask that in all things, Christ receive the preeminence in our lives. If any are here tonight, maybe in this service which has assembled on these inclement conditions, that don't know you, might you give them a love for Christ? Might you, by your Spirit, form Christ in them in the way that you did in forming His humanity in the womb of the Virgin? Might you form in their hearts here tonight a love for Christ so that they might grow to know Him better and not be ashamed to confess the name of Jesus Christ before men. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.